We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Ahoy! Footballers! Welcome back aboard the Tues Cruise. No. Mayflower Monday here. Yeah. On the Solid Verbal. Dan, how are you?
Good. My pitch was Monday in the marina because I'm actually going to be staying down within a few minutes of a marina here the next couple nights in Los Angeles, Ty. So I will be around boats.
You will be around boats?
Around the boats. So I'm very excited for this Mayflower Monday because it is Thanksgiving week. We have our pilgrim buckle hats. We've got our buckled shoes.
That's right. We do.
You've got a bounty of root vegetables, hypothetically.
They're all with me here in the studio. It's crazy.
Yeah. So I am very happy to, we're getting this word right, disembark.
Disembarking the Mayflower here. We're getting off. We're now ashore. And we're going to go through a bunch of questions that we got from the Verballer Hood. Some are about college football. Some are about Thanksgiving. But ultimately, we're going to talk about the stuff that we're thankful for.
I can tell you, I'm not thankful for Jaden Daniels' arm.
No.
The J flower.
The J flower. Nice.
The J flower. Thank you. That's the funniest thing I've said all year. But I am thankful that Jaden Daniels exists. So, yes, we're going to take, we have a bunch of Thanksgiving related questions, just general football related questions as we disembark. We are going to try, we're going to get, you'll see that this is out sooner than usual. So, we had fair winds and following seas and fair winds. Or what it's some iteration of what I just said. So Ty, let's start and let's start deboating.
Deboating, yes. Let's hop off the ship here for once. You've been on the open seas all year on this show. And where should we start?
Let's just start with we received this question, I believe, before Miami lost to to FIU. But Chris wants to know, where do you rank Jaren Williams compared to other freshman quarterbacks guiding their team across the open sea? So for this exercise, we will count redshirt and true freshman.
Okay.
Ty. So here are some notables. And you tell me if you'd rather have Jaren Williams or this person.
Sure.
Now that we are, for most teams, 11 games in. So Keaton Slovis.
I would rather have Keaton Slovis.
I think that's correct. Dylan Gabriel, UCF.
I would rather have... Ooh. I mean, I like...
You're out on Dylan Gabriel, weirdly.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the answer is Dylan Gabriel, but...
25 touchdown passes to 7 picks. He's completed 60% of his passes.
Yeah,
passer rating of nearly 160.
I think the answer is still Dylan Gabriel, but...
Okay.
I'm not as high on him as a lot of people are.
Sam Howell.
Sam Howell to me is the cutoff line.
Okay. The Howl Sphere.
Yeah, I think I would still prefer Sam Howell.
Okay.
I think Jaren Williams would be next up after him.
The best of Jaren Williams is better than a good deal of Sam Howell. I don't know if Sam Howell is putting up stats on a so-so team, but that one's tough for me. I'd rather have Jaden Daniels.
Sam Howell is 32 touchdown passes. It could be the offense, but he's also pretty good, and we've talked about how he's got a little bit of Baker Mayfield in him. So from that standpoint alone, the statistics are tough to deny, and right. I'm definitely a little bit higher on Sam Howell.
I would put Jaren Williams above Bo Nix. I would put him above, I think, Spencer Sanders.
Yes.
Jack Plummer, Purdue. I'd probably Max Duggan's interesting, but he doesn't complete his passes enough.
No.
That might be
what about
an offensive thing.
You're not putting him ahead of the Jay Flower, are you?
No. Jaden Daniels. And you know, part of it's going to take a little bit more time for ASU to do it consistently on offense, but the best of him, as we've now seen against Oregon, against a not great Wazoo defense, but he was very good in that game. The Jay Flower with his weapons, they're going to have a really fun offense moving forward.
I would agree with
you. What about John Reese Plumlee and what he's been able to do on the ground?
Oh, no, I would still take Jaren Williams.
Ryan Helinski?
I'll take Jaren Williams.
I think that's correct. I'm trying to think other notable. Mentioned Spencer Sanders, Garrett Schrader, Mississippi State has been sort of off and on.
I like Garrett Schrader, but he's been off and on.
Right. I think we've found that line pretty well.
Yeah.
I think that in terms of freshmen who have played significant time this year, Sam Howell to me is questionable, the Howell Sphere, but I think we're pretty aligned otherwise.
Agreed.
The Florida State opening, at the time we're recording this, it's very Stoopsian in both that Mark has reportedly spoken to Florida State but has pulled his name out, allegedly, of consideration. Bob Stoops doesn't appear to be interested at this time. Obviously, Mike Norvell has raised eyebrows with what he's done at Memphis. You know, James Franklin's going to be in the mix for any coaching opening. We have a question from, I think it's from Will. Brian Kelly to Florida State.
Yeah.
Legit or not legit? And would he be a steal for Florida State?
Well, here's the thing that Brian Kelly has going for him. Brian Kelly has been successful every stop he's been at. And he's got success building programs. It has been a slow build at Notre Dame, but there is no denying that the Irish are in a better spot now than they were when he got there. And the one thing that I think remains for him is winning that national championship. Now, Notre Dame is certainly closer than ever before, at least in this modern era of getting back to that level. But they still are up against something of a ceiling because they've got, I think, different restrictions when it comes to recruiting. And yes and no, but there are restrictions in place that aren't in place, at least not to the same degree at Florida State. Also, if you go to Florida State, clearly you're in the midst of a recruiting hotbed in the state of Florida.
Right.
Florida State's easier to recruit to, especially for Florida kids, than it would be bringing those kids up to Notre Dame. So I think it's appealing to Brian Kelly for those reasons. I don't know if he'd leave a good situation at Notre Dame to go to Florida State, because Notre Dame is certainly more stable than Florida State is at the moment. But I think, depending on what his goals are, going to Florida State gives him a better chance of winning a national championship over the span of a career than just simply staying at Notre Dame.
Okay, I was going to say, does it seem like to you he is somebody that would welcome a refresh, a reboot, that a new job would offer? That's just, Notre Dame is so unique in its challenges and in its advantages that there is something he misses about potentially playing on a more consistently big stage, because Notre Dame is so dependent on, you know, Stanford, USC, Michigan State. There's just variables across so many conferences, whereas with Florida State, it does feel more rooted in knowing where you are.
So I'll harken back to this. We were at, I forget what our last stop was when we went to the national championship. I guess it was the Atlanta year.
Okay.
And I remember sitting in that little common area that they set up for sports media. and it was you and I, and we were talking to Bruce Feldman.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce brought up Brian Kelly. And at that point in time, for whatever reason, I thought it would be wise to tell him that I thought Brian Kelly was going to leave. I was convinced.
Maybe for the Giants, right?
Yeah, I was convinced that he was going to leave for something like the Giants job. And Bruce, to his credit, looked at me very respectfully. And, you know, I shouldn't have to tell Bruce Feldman any kind of coaching news. Certainly it wasn't coaching news at that point. It was just an opinion. But
right.
I was always a little bit self-conscious of that opinion, most notably because it didn't work out and he didn't leave. And I'm, as a Notre Dame fan, okay with that. But
right.
at that point in time, I thought that Kelly had aspirations to go into the NFL. And that did not work out. There has been plenty since then that's been published out there about how he's happy where he is. He doesn't really feel the need to go anywhere else. And I would probably err on the side of him not going anywhere at this point in his career. But
okay,
I think Florida State's appealing for a number of reasons if he should want to stay in the college game and also pursue that national championship.
I think that's all reasonable. Ty.
Yeah.
Next question.
Yes.
What are you doing turkey-wise?
We're going Wegmans turkey this year.
You're just picking up. You're just making it easy and simple.
We're going the carved turkey classic or whatever they call it in the pamphlet. Hand-carved turkey meal.
Yeah.
We're getting two of them. We're having a bunch of people over here in the house.
Yep.
So it's going to be a home game Thanksgiving. Got all sorts of fixins and side dishes that we have assigned out to other family members that are coming. But it's going to be our first ever Thanksgiving hosting role, Dan. I'm pretty excited.
Are you worried about anything? Cleanup or people ruining your expensive secret security cameras all over your house?
No.
What are you worried about having a large group at your place?
I am first and foremost worried that the dog may decide to go into heat, and that could make things very interesting here.
Sure.
The point spread would shift dramatically if that were the case. But other than that, I think we've got things pretty well in hand.
You're about Thanksgiving ops.
That's right.
You're not on the field.
Okay. That's right. I'm in a DevOps role.
You're DevOps. We're hosting at my parents' house because I'm in Los Angeles, obviously, and we are both roasting a turkey and bringing in a Chinese Peking turkey for our normal pseudo-traditional, our traditional is now Chinese Thanksgiving. So we'll have some fried rice, we'll have some traditional sides, but we are doing a dry brine, because I do see that straight out of Pally Ask. Brine or no brine, wet or dry? We're doing a dry brine, which basically means you season that sucker up 24 hours ahead of time and just sort of leave it in the fridge, which is great because some of the water leaves the turkey, it dries out a little bit, so you get that crispy skin. But also, when you give it enough time, that seasoning will penetrate, Ty, penetrate the meat. So I think we're just doing a breast in terms of what we're roasting and then bringing in other parts from the Chinese place. But supposedly the dry brine makes a much more flavorful piece of meat than a wet brine because you waterlog your meat sometimes with too much liquid. So that's my answer for brine or no brine, wet or dry. Jackson wants to know, are Thanksgiving desserts restricted to the various flavor pies of the season? The various flavor pies of the season. That's my enunciation there. Apple, pecan, pumpkin, etc. Or can other desserts that aren't quite so autumnal succeed alongside the pies? Maybe a blondie tie.
Yeah. I think they can succeed.
Okay.
I don't necessarily discriminate if a dessert isn't perfectly Thanksgiving themed. I think it's fine.
Do you know what your pie lineup is?
Well, Mom H is making the pumpkin pie. And not to go on too much of an aside here, but you know my stance on pumpkin pies. I'm in the Mel Kiper Jr. realm of pumpkin pie.
I don't know. Does Mel Kiper love pumpkin pie?
So Mel Kiper Jr. supposedly eats one pumpkin pie per
day. Oh, that's right. I remember that.
And
so you'll do pumpkin pie other days.
Oh, I'll do pumpkin pie pretty much any day of the year.
Okay.
And I think this is something we've talked about on the show, that if we had to eat one item as part of an eating contest, what would it be? What would we stand the best chance of winning? And mine would be pumpkin pie. So
does your mom, and I hope this isn't too personal, is she carving out the pumpkin meat out of a pumpkin, or is she getting the Libby's?
No, she's doing it manually.
Manual. That's so impressive. Libby's is really good.
No.
That's your classic pumpkin puree in a can.
This
then you mix, yeah.
This has all sorts of elbow grease in it.
Wow. Is she nutmegging?
I don't know. It's the best thing.
You don't know
what
goes into it.
No, I don't know.
It's the best thing in the world.
Doesn't matter.
But do you do alt pie? Will there be a sour cherry? Will there be a pie?
There'll be apple. There'll be a cheese pie. There'll be a whole variety of other pies that'll be here.
Okay.
I don't discriminate, though, if it's not perfectly aligned with Thanksgiving. Yeah, all desserts are welcome.
Straight up, ice cream, whipped cream.
I go heavy ready whip on my pumpkin pie.
Okay.
Heavy ready whip.
Nice. Okay. I like that you have a strategy. You have an identity to your Thanksgiving desserts. Yeah, I think we're doing an apple, a home-baked apple. So a guest is baking that. And then I think we're going to supplement with probably a store-bought, maybe a store-bought berry and a store-bought pumpkin.
Okay.
Other dessert options. Yeah, please.
Can I read off my favorite question? Just the way that Chuck constructed this question is perfect.
Okay.
He says, when Bama misses the playoff this year, does Clemson assume the role of team everybody wants to see lose?
Right.
And will it impact them if it does? Without breaking his line, he just moves to the next question. And thoughts on sauerkraut on Thanksgiving? Strong flavor adds.
Speaking
nice counterpoint
impacting
to the turkey.
You.
Yeah, to the turkey. So where do you stand on both of these, Dan?
So I don't think Clemson on its face is as unlikable as Alabama. And that goes back to the Nick Saban thing with leaving the Dolphins. People perceive him to be scummy and he looks grumpy and he stockpiles five-star guys and sends all these guys to the NFL and makes postseason 2016 look like 17, 18, 19, 14, 13, 12, etc. But I think people do get sick of excellence, fair or not. And Clemson has reached the point that, you know, people are now perceiving them to be winning a conference that isn't all that competitive. And now they're stockpiling talent on the level of Alabama, if you look at their 2020 class right now. So I think it all depends on how full of it you personally believe Dabo is and the Dabo sheen is and how he projects himself in the Clemson program. And I think it varies. I think sometimes he seems like he's kind of full of it, and sometimes like this just seems like who he is. So I think it is so head coach dependent based on what you perceive Dabo to be.
Yeah. You know, LSU, I think, is obviously the new kid on the block in some respect here as it relates to the playoffs. So
they haven't won anything recently.
Yeah, they don't run that risk. Ohio State runs that risk. They've been there a lot, and there are a lot of folks that can't stand Ohio State when they win.
Yeah.
I don't know who the fourth team is that sneaks in, but suffice to say, it's, I don't think, going to be Alabama. I could be wrong about that, but like you said, if it's not Alabama, I think the next two likely contenders to kind of take over that mantle would be probably Clemson 1, followed in close second by Ohio State.
Yeah, I think Ohio State lost a lot of its hateability is too strong.
Yeah, with Urban Meyer.
With Urban Meyer. Right. I don't think anybody has any strong negative opinions of Ryan Day. Maybe I'm wrong. It happens a whole lot. But I think that's what's keeping back right now Ohio State, you know, that they look really strong, but Ryan Day just seems like a guy. He just seems like, a really good coach. But in terms of likability, dislikability, he just seems like a guy.
And a guy who may look a lot like one of the Property Brothers.
Oh, he for sure is the fifth Property Brother. How many? Yeah. I know there's a secret third. I don't know if there's any beyond that.
All right.
So Matt wants to know, we keep hearing James Franklin's name come up for job openings, specifically USC recently. My question, this is Matt, what jobs out there are / could be available that are actually better than Penn State? Is USC or Florida State or any number of places better jobs than Penn State? So this is a largely subjective question and answer, Ty. So you are a proud alumnus.
Sure.
We are. What are the selling points and what will Penn State never be able to achieve in terms of, quote, good jobbiness?
Good jobbiness, huh?
Yep, that's English.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at the state of play in the Big Ten East and it's loaded between Michigan, Ohio State, and usually
the dearly departed memory of Michigan State.
Usually Michigan State, not so much the case over the last, I don't know, 2.5 years, but you know, usually that's a pretty loaded side of the conference. And if we try to compare conferences moving forward, that's always a bit of a fool's errand, but certainly the ACC, the current state of the ACC is Clemson and nobody else.
Yeah, Wake had at least an opportunity to make some noise against the Tigers. And
no one's even really close to Clemson in the ACC. So at least from that standpoint, the Florida State job is somewhat interesting.
But as a, like a hypothetical, in any given year, forget, I mean, yes, you have to remember the competition in the conference and what the path might look like to an impressive postseason. But recruiting, you know, infrastructure, prestige, history, ability to attract assistant coaches,
raise
money, all the things that come along with quality jobs.
I think it's probably easier to recruit to Florida State and USC than it is to a place like Penn State. And I think that's mostly because of geography. I think your talent is more centered around California and Florida than it is, obviously, central Pennsylvania.
Right.
So from that standpoint, there may be some advantages.
Seems all in terms of administration on being a football power, which is
for sure
significant.
For sure. You know, you get to play in a really cool place like Beaver Stadium at Penn State, which is in and of itself an attraction that certainly USC and I don't think Florida State have.
I think Beaver Stadium has a better environment, which with as much as Doak can rock in a big game.
Sure.
And even the Coliseum can seem when USC is a big player in LA in college football. Beaver Stadium is, there's an electricity there that I don't think those other two places can match.
I just think you'd be stepping into situations, if we use USC and Florida State as these specific examples, where there are a lot of expectations right away. And I don't know if that's a better situation than at Penn State, where recruiting has finally got to a place now and the talent level is so built up that they're building towards getting to that top echelon. And I think everyone's pretty comfortable with the direction of the program. There are certainly no calls for James Franklin's head at this point. They're going to go 10-2. Whereas if you go to USC, if you go to Florida State, I think there are more expectations that he can deliver early on.
Can I ask you the uncomfortable question? Is the stigma going to stay with Penn State forever?
The stigma. What do you mean?
The stigma of everything that happened in 2011 and before, that Penn State has this reputation of being a place where far too much was allowed to happen by administrators. And obviously Penn State and, you know, current students, current players, current coaches have nothing to do with any of it. But the two words Penn and State are, fair or not, two of the dirtier what's wrong with college football words of the, you know, the modern era.
It'll stay with them to some extent forever.
Right.
And it's not fair to the current staff. It's not fair to the current players.
Right.
It's not fair to most of the people who are at the university.
Same thing of Baylor as well.
Same deal. It'll be with them forever. It was a horrible thing. And
it's when it's something institutional. Yeah.
It's something that they have to navigate. And like it or not, it will remain for a long time a symbol of what's wrong with sports.
Sure.
The only thing that they can do is their part to, you know, change things for the better moving forward.
Also, Penn State, every fan base has a lunatic fringe. That is, you know, the craziest 1% of a fan base.
Well, look, there's a lunatic fringe that still wants Joe Paterno to come back and coach.
Right.
And I would hope that people don't define the Penn State fan base by that
fringe. They shouldn't. But this is a fringe that has made itself very public.
They're very public and they're very loud. Yeah.
Okay. I think Penn State is probably in a better position in terms of playing big games, even though they can't recruit and are not in as warm a place as USC or Florida State is in Tallahassee in LA. I think Penn State is an A-list job that will attract top-level talent, but it does have that asterisk that is going to remain. In a happier way of framing a question, is Kyle Hamilton the best college football player of all time?
Yes. Next question.
Okay. Moving on. Notre Dame safety, right?
By the way, you didn't give me your... Yeah, he is the true freshman Notre Dame safety. He leads the team in interceptions so far this season. And you did not give your thoughts on Thanksgiving sauerkraut.
Oh, Thanksgiving sauerkraut. If it's something you like and it's something you feel like people that at your table like, I'm a big proponent of do your thing. You should not be cooking Thanksgiving as per what the table should look like in a Norman Rockwell painting. Do your thing. If you're a sauerkraut family, do it. If you're a turkey mole, that's new to the show, mole, do your thing. Make it a Mexican Thanksgiving. If you don't like turkey and you don't think a lot of people are going to like turkey, I don't care. Make burgers. Make steaks. Make a tofurkey. I don't know. I just do your thing. It's all about the people at the table and what you think everybody will get along with liking. And if it's not turkey, it's not turkey. Sauerkraut, all right. Do it.
Dan, let's go to Bert here. He gives us 6 rivalry games on Thanksgiving weekend, and he wants to know which have the best chance of ending in a colossal upset.
So his word is colossal, and obviously Michigan beating Ohio State at home would not be colossal. What would be colossal, I guess, is the manner in which Michigan beats
by
Ohio State 42-10.
30 points, yeah.
Right. That's colossal. If A&M beats LSU, I don't know if I'm colossal, comfortably colossal. Iron Bowl, Auburn comfortably, colossal.
Oregon State Bedlam. At all over Oregon would be colossal.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I think that's he has Georgia Tech, Georgia here, and that would be colossal. Bedlam, it would be an upset, but not crazy with what Oklahoma's done late in games or early in games recently. I think my answer is Oregon State over Oregon is the most likely ending in colossal, because I think Michigan blowing out Ohio State is just, it's not there for me. And A&M blowing out LSU. So Oregon State, with the steps they've taken forward on offense, looking as balanced as they do, defensively they're a mess, but can Jake Luton throw now over the top of an Oregon defense that has shown itself to put corners on an island who can beat by double moves? Yeah, he can do that. Yeah, Isaiah Hodgins can do that. So,
you know, Michigan, Ohio State, that would certainly be an upset, as you said. Don't know if it rises to the level of colossal. A&M LSU, that would stun me. That would stun me if it happened at all. So I would put it in the same vein there. The right. Iron Bowl, if Mac Jones is playing, sort of interesting.
It's not Tua.
So that's interesting to me. I would still be surprised by that. But Lord knows we've seen some, you know, antics in that game over the years, so I don't know if colossal really is the word. Oklahoma State could beat Oklahoma. It's in Stillwater. I could see that happening.
Chuba can run on anybody.
Yeah, but Oregon State over Oregon would be the answer here.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Next question, as we zoom through these, we've talked turkey, we've talked desserts, we talked about Texas and the situation there, and Andy asked a question about why isn't anybody talking about the backwater in reference to Texas being back? That's a good one. Okay, we got a couple of these. This, I know our friend Dan Klobuchar, now Tim, says, my parents seriously suggested, quote, eating out for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So there's, and it's not because of any sort of crisis of people not showing up or the kitchen exploding or anything like that. Is eating out an acceptable move on Thanksgiving? And if so, where?
Well,
have you eaten out on Thanksgiving in the last few years?
No.
Okay.
No, I have not. But
okay, I have twice.
I don't have any issues with people who want to eat out on Thanksgiving.
Sure.
I don't think it's unacceptable. I think you got to live your best life, Dan. I think whatever makes the most sense. If you know you got family coming in from all over, if you don't have the desire or the facilities to host, whatever cause.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something that makes you happy, I say go for it.
You're right. You are right. But so last year we didn't eat out because Jody with an I was very pregnant. And so we didn't come out to California.
Sure.
She just didn't want to fly. So we went out to a nice meal at a Chinese restaurant and they did their own version of Thanksgiving. And that was amazing. A place called Red Farm. Highly recommended if you're in New York. And a few years ago, we went out in New Jersey because my parents didn't want to host it that year. So we went out to my uncle's place and did Thanksgiving there. Not his house, but we went out with him. I really would strongly suggest trying to making a home Thanksgiving work. I understand that people want to go out and they don't want to deal with cleanup or having relatives in their house and dealing with a bunch of everything that comes with hosting Thanksgiving. I get all of that. But even if you go out, try and make a point of doing like your elaborate dessert at home.
Do desserts at home? I could go with that. Yeah.
Do desserts. There's something just special about feeling at home, feeling comfortable with, and if you do feel comfortable with your family, good for you. But
just,
I don't know.
Watch the Lions lose with close family and friends.
do what you can to at least have an element at home. Maybe it's appetizers, maybe it's dessert, maybe it's, you know, everybody gathering around and playing football or whatever. As long as there's an element at a home base. I think that's good.
Do you have like a Thanksgiving Day football game that you and the boys play at your Thanksgiving?
I sprained an ankle one year.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll be doing it this year. Camera guy Dave's family comes over, but now they've gotten too big, so they're not coming over. So a different family friend is coming over, and some athletes in this family. I don't know if we'll be doing it.
I would really love to hear stories about Thanksgiving Day football games.
Yes,
among family members. I am intrigued by this.
Yeah,
would love to hear more about.
Have you played in one?
No, I would love to. I would love to.
Well, your brother-in-law is a football player, right?
My brother-in-law is a football player, yeah.
Could you get together a four-on-four game with the people appearing at your Thanksgiving?
I mean, we could probably recruit Uncle Joe Colarusso.
I mean, that's a ringer right there.
I don't know what position he would play, but he's ambidextrous.
Natural Darren Sproles type.
Yeah, he's ambidextrous and could throw with either hand. Pretty accurately, so.
Pain in the ass in the huddle, though.
But otherwise, I don't know. I mean, I guess we could find a way.
Right. What about basketball? What about just playing like Thanksgiving horse?
I've retired from basketball. You know that.
That's true. I guess you could play turkey on basketball. Maybe we'll do that this year. Play some turkey.
Some nieces and nephews could probably get in on the action, but then it's a question of, you know, how rough and tumble is this football game going to be?
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Before the last part of this show, as we wind down, will you be drinking on Thanksgiving? Are you a wine person? Are you going to be making a Thanksgiving specific, like, pitcher of cocktails, beer?
My cousin,
the alcohol consumption.
Yeah, my cousin's bringing some scotch.
Oh, are you a scotch guy?
Not really, but
yeah,
he seems to know a lot about it, and he's going to bring some, so I'll jump in on that train, yeah.
One year I made a cocktail, a pitcher of what was called a Nor'easter.
Yeah,
which is a bourbon, maple, ginger, like a little bit of maple syrup and ginger ale and lime. It's very good, but it's sweet, and it doesn't taste super alcoholic. And I accidentally got people super ripped on Thanksgiving. So it was a very nice autumnal cocktail pitcher. So look up Nor'easter.
The problem with drinking on Thanksgiving is you're already full from all the food.
Right. It's throwing you off.
Yeah.
Can we go, and just because we have at least disembarked for now, because we still have more Two's Cruise left, we've disembarked from the Mayflower and Mayflower Monday. Can we go through, as just the sport in general, and give some things that we are thankful for that were either unexpected or reinforcing or something that happened throughout the season that you have looked back on, and the season's not over, but through 13 weeks that you're like, you know what? I'm pretty thankful for this person or this happening, and you cannot just say Kyle Hamilton over and over again.
No, okay.
A team that got better, a quarterback that really shined, a comeback win that was crazy, you're thankful happened, something like that.
Well,
give me top of your head things that you have some thankfulness for.
I am thankful for a couple situations around college football. Oregon State's been fun. They
probably
won't make a bowl unless the colossal upset happens, but it's been fun to see them kind of build. And
what's your pluck? You love a good pluck factor.
Yeah, I love the pluck factor. Louisville. Mm-hmm. Louisville falls into that category as well. I'm not just reciting things from the Sunday show, but I am really, truly excited about some of these situations. One thing that we texted about that I am sneaky under the radar excited about is Jared Deggy getting some time for West Virginia, right?
You like redshirt season. I know you do.
Yeah, they're preserving that redshirt, and I've been thankful for the Keaton Slovis situation out at USC because it's been so much fun to see him thrive in that new system. I've even weirdly been thankful, even though they beat Notre Dame, for the Michigan offense getting itself together because, as you might recall, Michigan was a preseason favorite of mine.
I know.
Better late than never to see them kind of come into their own now late in the year. And as it builds toward the Ohio State game, it could be interesting to see how that all unfolds. I've been thankful for, you said I can't say Kyle Hamilton, right?
No, you cannot. Yeah. All right.
What else? What else do you got?
So, okay. As I go through the sport quickly and look around various conferences, I'm thankful for Navy's resurgence because I always, and actually Air Force's resurgence as well. I do like when you just have pain in the ass option teams. So the Georgia Tech offense has gone away from the option. So I do like some dominance there, even though you're anti-option. I'm thankful for the weird ass story of Houston redshirting good players in preparation of hoping to get them back next year. We'll see what happens with Derek King. I'm thankful for Wake Forest being a calm in a sea of disappointment in the ACC. I'm thankful for Mikael Cunningham sort of coming out of nowhere. You mentioned Louisville, so I'm gonna stick with it there. I'm thankful for Virginia Tech bouncing back. I'm thankful for Bryce Perkins having to do everything for Virginia and mostly doing it. Yeah. I'm thankful we have Mack Brown back because if North Carolina is in a close game, we are going to say, oh, this is going to end in a stupid way. We should watch this.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for at least having the brief amount of time we had with an alert that Florida State was either up or down by 2 to 5 points late because that was going to be entertaining, Ty. I'm thankful for that entertainment.
Yeah, I'm thankful for Mike Gundy growing the mullet back and also Lovie Smith for maintaining that beautiful beard.
Well, he also, Lovie Smith also came through for us.
Also came through for us, so I'm thankful
for drive for six jokes, and Illinois fully drove to six.
This is true.
I am thankful for Kansas State kind of not missing a beat in year one of a coach when a lot of year one coaches in the Big 12 really struggled. I'm thankful for whatever the hell that Kansas-Texas game was, and whatever the hell that Kansas-Texas Tech game was. I am thankful for Indiana in a sea of Michigan State, Maryland, Rutgers, Northwestern, Nebraska, Purdue, all being pretty terrible in their own ways. Indiana jumping up, Illinois jumping up and saying, we're pretty good and we're getting it done. And then obviously, just I could focus on Minnesota as a whole.
Yeah.
But Rashad Bateman with the ball in the air, suddenly making it seem automatic. I'm very thankful for that feeling I got.
I am thankful for any and all references to Baby Gronk, whether or not it's Pat Freiermuth or any other tight end, be it Cole Kmet or someone else around college football. And I'm also thankful for Chase Claypool when the ball is in the air. When the ball is in the air.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's when you're at your most confident, either when somebody's throwing deep on Kyle Hamilton or somebody's throwing, or Ian Book is throwing it to Chase Claypool.
All right.
Right? I am thankful, Ty, for every outcome being on the table with Pitt football. Any given week, there is an outcome that is on the table for watching a Pitt game. Elsewhere, I am pretty grateful for having Notre Dame in our lives playing big games because it brings out a side of you that just goes to the verge of madness. I'm thankful that we got UMass Northwestern.
Yeah.
We got Northwestern as a 39-point favorite. That's pretty wonderful. I'm thankful for teams improving. I mean, the pluckiness factor, obviously, San Jose State is one of those. Wyoming has had a nice year. I am thankful for the weirdness that has been the Pac-12 season and the stability of excellence that is Utah. I am thankful for, in the SEC, the Tennessance coming and happening and making us sound somewhat intelligent.
Stop it. All right.
Otherwise, I don't know. Oh, I'm thankful for Eli Drinkwitz at App State, keeping that thing going.
All right. I'm thankful for our ballers. I'm thankful for these questions.
Good.
And I'm thankful that this is a little bit of a shorter show than usual here. Being so, it's Thanksgiving week, we need time to get ready for our Thanksgiving.
We're doing
feasts.
Shows in consecutive days. It's defensible.
So the preview show will be out tomorrow evening around the same time. We will preview all the rivalries that are before us here on Thanksgiving weekend. And if you haven't already, please do subscribe to the show. Thank you so much for hopping aboard the Two's Cruise as the dog's barking here in the background. I don't know if you can hear her.
Oh,
she's getting ready. She's getting ready for Thanksgiving too.
Hey, girl.
For that guy over there, Lieutenant Captain Dan Rubenstein, for myself, your Captain Ty Hildebrandt. Thank you so much for joining us on this Mayflower Monday. Catch y'all tomorrow. Talk some college football in the meantime. Stay solid.
Peace. And I'm thankful Lehigh
can't get it done.
Stop it. Stop it.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.